Every Sunday when we come together and gather as the body of Christ, we profess our faith in the resurrection. And we do that in a general way throughout the Mass, but we do it particularly when we say the Creed. And although we say the Creed together as a body, each of us says, "I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." And in just a couple of weeks, our catechumens will join us in saying those words as we say the Creed together. And they will be brought into communion and gather with us around the table of God's Word, and especially around the table of the altar. And this week is a special week because we had the third scrutiny for the catechumens, which we will do after the homily. But in any case, we each make an individual profession of faith in the resurrection. And the resurrection is so central to our Catholic faith, and we might sometimes forget that. But, you know, as St. Paul wrote, if there is no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. We believe for nothing. If Christ didn't suffer and die for us, if Christ was not risen from the dead, and if the resurrection is just like a nice little story or a myth or a symbol that we have, then church is just a club where people come together and worship God in a general way, and we do some good things for other people. But the heart of our faith is not there, the resurrection. But Jesus did die, and we believe that he rose from the dead, and we profess that in our faith. And not only that, as Jesus said in the gospel today, he himself is the resurrection and the life. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope for eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life. But what do we mean when we say that we believe in the resurrection? When Christ rose from the dead, it's not like, you know, he was like a ghost, you know, that you could see through, and, you know, Casper or whatever. And, his, you know, like his body was still in the grave, but his spirit was out there floating around. That's not what it was. He ate and drank with his disciples. They saw him and they touched him. Thomas put his fingers in the wounds on Christ's hand and in his side. So he was really there. And he wasn't, you know, just like a resuscitated corpse, like the Walking Dead stumbling, you know, around through the world. He appeared and disappeared at will. He entered into a room that was locked. How do you do that? There was something different about him. The disciples sometimes didn't recognize him at first, but then they did, and they realized that although there was something different about him, he was still himself. He was still that Jesus that they knew. Resurrection is not reincarnation. Jesus did not come back as someone or something else. He came back as Jesus. And it's not, you know, this general idea of the immortality of the soul that the Greeks and some other people have, where, you know, it's just part of the natural life. You die and then you go on and you live on and on and on. The resurrection is a gift. The resurrection is complete transformation, complete fulfillment of a human life. And it's not just, you know, that we believe in life after death. We believe in a life after life. We believe in this life of glory, a glorified being and a glorified body. And we don't know all of what that means. You know, St. John says in one of his letters that what we will be, we don't know. But we have faith in that, and we trust that beyond this life, there is another life where we will live in a completely transformed situation. In today's gospel, Lazarus was not resurrected. This, you know, on the face of it, it's not a resurrection story. Lazarus was restored to life. Jesus brought him back from the dead, and he was dead. He was 4 days in the tomb, and so there was no, like, you know, well, maybe he was just in a coma or something. And, you know, and Mary says, that, you know, there'll be a stench. So he was really dead. And he was brought back to life. He was restored to life. And he was, you know, probably went back and lived with Martha and Mary and did whatever he did, you know, for work to bring food into the house. And he went on and he lived his life. But eventually he would die again. So we might wonder, you know, why would Jesus raise him from the dead just so that he would, you know, go back and die again? That doesn't seem like a very good deal. And we can probably think of a lot of reasons why Jesus would have done that. Maybe part of it was just so that Lazarus would be there to take care of Martha and Mary. But there are three points that are important in this gospel, and Jesus is raising Lazarus from the dead. And the first thing was is that raising from the dead was for the glory of God. That was the reason why Jesus did it. People would see a dead man live again, and they would know that God was with them, that God had done something in that person's life. So that goes to the second point, is that God is present and that God is the Lord of life and death. Nothing can stand in the way of God. Death for us is an end. It's a limit. And for many of us, it's a problem. When you think, you know, it's like we live our lives, we do all this stuff, and then we die. It's all over. But for God, death is not a problem. God's love and God's power are not limited or constrained by any human or physical reality, and that includes death. The third point is that Jesus is Almighty God. Jesus is God with us. And Jesus, all his miracles, his healing, his feeding of the multitudes, the casting out of demons, all of this reveals that in Jesus, God is at work in the world. And notice in this story, and pretty much everywhere else in the gospel, Jesus doesn't point to himself as the cause of the miracle. He doesn't say, hey, look, I just raised this guy from the dead. He doesn't do that. He draws the attention to his heavenly Father. It's so that God will be glorified. So in raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus is saying to everyone who sees it, you know, look, God is here. God sent me to reveal God's glory to you. God sent me to reveal God's love, and God sent me to reveal God's will for you. And God's will is that death does not have the last word. God's will is that all of God's children have life in its fullness. And as we know, you and I are all God's children. And so in raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus gives us a foretaste, just a hint. In another place, Paul says it's a down payment. But it's a hint of what God has planned for us in eternity. And through our faith in Jesus and through our baptism, each of us already shares in that risen life. We already have a little share of the resurrection in our lives already. And our catechumens are going to receive that in just a couple of weeks. They will be brought into that risen life with Christ. And the life we live now, it might be, you know, sometimes it can be very difficult. It can be limited. It's incomplete. But if we live that life in Christ, if we keep Christ at the center of our lives, we already have a life animated by the Spirit who rose Christ from the dead. That's what Paul is telling us in our second reading today from the letter to the Romans, is that, you know, we already have that Spirit within us. And like Lazarus, we are being called at all times from death to life. In Christ, we are always being freed from the things that bind us in this life. You know, like Lazarus came out of the tomb with those bands around his feet. And the Lord said, you know, cut him free. And we're being freed from everything that binds us. We're being freed from everything that keeps us from being filled with God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, and God's life-giving power. In Christ, God is with us. And when God is with us, there is no sin, there's no addiction, there's no loss, there's no failure, there's no despair, nothing that can finally defeat us. nothing that can bind us and hold us back from God. Nothing will destroy us in Christ, even though we might have to suffer through certain things in this life. Christ is the resurrection and the life. Christ is the mighty power of God who came down to this earth and accepted our human weakness. He came and accepted our suffering and even our death, and he took all of those things and he transformed them into the hope of eternal life. So the resurrection is real. It's very real. It's not just some, you know, religious words we use at Mass on Sunday. In Christ, there is no loss, there's no failure, there's no problem, no sin, no death that will defeat us. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, we are already risen. We have already begun to live that resurrected life. We are already free and we are already alive for all eternity, where we will give glory and praise to God with all the angels and saints.